a member of the Talk and Audio Network. Find more at talkandaudio.com or search for us on iTunes. Now, let's crack open another one. This is Tall Can Sports.
Welcome to Tall Can Sports, everybody. Got a couple of things I want to get to here. Got Matty Lang on Skype. How's it going, my man?
Good. How are you doing, bud?
I'm all right. It's been, a month or so, maybe a little more than that since we've had you on, so probably a little overdue here.
A little overdue, and we got much better news to talk about this time around, too.
It's true. Before we get into some of that, because we got two topics here to get to, but I wanted to throw a quick shout-out to friend of the show, Amy Burke, who's been nominated for PEI's Athlete of the Year, which is nothing to sneeze at in an Olympic year anywhere across Canada when a province decides to throw you in there with Olympians and all kinds of people across the sporting world. Amy is, for those of you who most of you know, has been on this show a few times, is a Paralympic athlete. And so to be recognized at a level, you know, like this for a sport most people have never heard of, alongside, you know, athletes of all other sports, not just Paralympic sports, is pretty cool. And so that happens on February 8th, is their sports banquet out there in Charlottetown. Amy obviously trains here in Ottawa now, but the proud Islander, and we're really happy for her. And it's not a bad list of people who've won this before. I was checking it out. Heather Moise, who most people remember from 2010 Olympics, gold medalist in the bobsleigh. Jared Connaughton was a member of the, in 2012, the London Olympic track team. Most people remember finished in third, but ended up getting disqualified. Someone stepped on the line. That was kind of a painful Canadian sports moment, but pretty cool for Amy. So we're pulling for her. If you want to send her any well wishes, whatever, you can do that at BurkeAmy7 on Twitter. But that happens on February 8th, and we're a little biased, but we're pulling for Amy around here.
Yeah, you know what? All the listeners should just start sending their money to PEI Sport right now for a little donation.
Exactly.
You know, with a wink, wink, nudge, nudge attached to that.
Absolutely. So congratulations to Amy just for the nomination, but we want to see a little more. Amy's been nominated once before in 2012. She was also nominated in 2008 as a junior athlete of the year, but this is the big one. So we're hoping she gets that done.
Listen, she's going after against some biathlete. I mean, that's not even a real sport, right?
And what was the other one? I think hockey. That's a real sport. We have a hard time arguing with that one. But
yeah, that might be a tough one to argue, but
Yeah, no, it's a
cool thing. Friend of the show gets an extra couple bonus points, right?
For sure. And Heather Moise, like, that's a big one. Heather is, you know, everyone remembers that bobsleigh medal in Vancouver in 2010, but also rugby, she's been huge in. Cycling, she's been huge in. So, I mean, there's some some athletes that have won this thing, right? And Amy had a great Paralympics. Her team didn't finish as high as she wanted to, but she was clutch, scored some big goals, including just keeping her team alive to make the playoffs. She scored all six goals in a victory over Australia for her team. So hopefully she gets the nod, despite most people having never heard of her sport. So.
Well, she definitely dominates. I've had the pleasure of watching her dominate on a provincial level, so you know, for what my vote's worth, which is generally nothing, but in this case,
yeah, no, that's about the same as what mine's worth too. So, but good luck to Amy. We hope that, that this goes the way it should. So, I wanted to start just before we get into Bautista, and that's what we're going to talk about here mostly. I wanted to ask Maddie in a very calm, very polite way, what the fuck his problem is when it comes to having apparently no love for Slapshot, the classic movie. This stems from the Leafs just defeated the Buffalo Sabres. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that ever.
Right. And so I just put on Twitter somewhere during the game that I didn't like some of the steps that the game ops crew in Toronto, they've redone all that. It doesn't really play to a hockey crowd. And Maddie commented afterwards when the Leafs won, they're playing that song from Slapshot that they always played when they're on the bus at, we gotta get right back to where we started. I don't know who it's by. I don't know any of that stuff, right? That 70s tune. You'll all know it if you know the music at all.
Based on that singing, I'm not sure anybody's going to figure that one out either.
That's actually true. That's not a great... But anyone who's seen the movie knows what I'm talking about. And that's where you chirped in. That's where you decided to take issue with it. The movie, I don't remember exactly what you said, but it was more lore than quality, I believe. What's your problem, man?
And if anybody was on Twitter... If anybody was on Leafs Twitter tonight, I think I was the only person in Toronto who didn't like that finale of a song. Everybody was getting their wet dreams off with that one.
It's true, man. But you're not a fan of Slapshot?
I gotta say, listen, I don't know if it's because I was forced to watch that on 7 to 10 different hockey road trips on a bus full of... You know, 12 to 17-year-old males when I was growing up playing hockey. I cannot handle that movie.
Wow.
You know, top to bottom, you know, I feel bad for Newman. That movie is not – it just doesn't stand the test of time. And I feel like it's one of those movies that especially every teenage boy in this country on a hockey team particularly, just randomly says that they love for no apparent reason. Nobody can really say why they love it, aside from the Bash brothers there. And really what...
Foil up.
Jeez, like what did they actually add? It's a B-movie, okay? It was always a B-movie. It was never anything better than a B-movie. And it's not even... To me, it's not even a top five hockey movie.
So, okay, that's interesting. Let me ask you this, because... I think you know, despite the fact that you're saying this with a lot of conviction, most people, most hardcore hockey fans do at least claim to love this movie. I believe what you're saying on all these road trips for minor hockey, I'm sure it's overplayed, all these sorts of things. Do you think that fact is maybe one of the reasons why men later on claim that they love it? Is it you kind of have those memories tied into it when you were still running around with the guys young, you know, playing with... It's not even so much the movie, it's everything that went along with it. You know, I
think that's it. I think you're right.
Because there are those movies out there that are so bad that they're good, right? That they kind of become classics despite how terrible they are, right? Like Wayne's World is not a great movie, but I love Wayne's World, right? Like... Yeah. I don't know, man.
But I think, you know, Wayne's World is a sketch movie, right? Like like many of those early SNL movies, you know, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, which there you go. There's a great road trip movie right there if you're a hockey fan of hockey, right?
For sure.
That they're sketch comedy, and they're skit after skit after skit, and they were never meant to be more than that, and they're funny because of the guys who play those roles.
Right.
You know, Slapshots is just...
You think it's trying to be a real movie and failed?
Yeah, it's a movie that doesn't understand maybe what it is, even though it's clearly a B movie. I mean, the writing's B movie, the script's B movie, the acting again is very B movie.
I'm blown away by this. I have to tell you, like,
I'd actually go as far as saying that I appreciated the movie Goon. Which is a more recent movie, much more, because I thought that knew what it was.
Twitter. We're going to fight. This is not okay. Goon was terrible.
But it knew what it was.
But it knows
that it's a B movie.
So you've given me one, and I'm not going to actually force you to sit down here and give a ranking or whatever. You said Slapshot might not be a top five hockey movie. What is for sure, in your mind, top couple of hockey movies?
Maybe this is because, you know, you and I were both, you know, children of the late 80s, early
90s. You're going to say the Ducks, aren't you?
You got to go with the Ducks,
I love the Ducks. I'm not shitting on it. I love the Ducks. But
that was such a solid movie back then. It's totally rewatchable now.
The whole trilogy. I don't care. People didn't love the second and the third one. I'm all in, man. Julie the Cat Gaffney got hot as I was getting older, and I was confused about my body and whatever.
It was also the only time in history that Iceland was a legitimate threat to a hockey crown any time.
In the second one, is it not Trinidad and Tobago that eliminates Canada?
I could only assume it's because all the actual talent of Canada was actually the actual World Juniors that year.
Yeah, we don't go to the Goodwill Games, we go to World Juniors. All right, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that, but I was blown away, man, because I don't run into a ton of... hardcore hockey fans that say they don't like Slapshot. So I was perplexed by that. And
how about Youngbloods?
I did not like Youngblood. Not at all. I wasn't a fan of that. Like, it falls along. It's behind all three Ducks movies. It's behind two. Did you know there was three Slapshot movies?
No, I did not. So I clearly stopped paying attention.
So there was a sequel, and that came out in, I don't know, the early 2000s, maybe. Maybe a little earlier than that.
And it, really?
And it wasn't. Wow. I'll be honest with you, it wasn't terrible. Gary Busey was in it, so that's a win in my book. it's supposed to be like pro wrestling, or it's supposed to be like where he hires the Chiefs, he buys the Chiefs to lose all the time to this other all-star team that he's bought. So it's more like the Globetrotters than pro wrestling, but they're supposed to lose, and at the end, in the last game, they're like, fuck it, we're going to win, right? Like, and then the third one is where they lost, because I actually liked the second one. The third one, it's like, I only saw it the once. I'm not sure I made it all the way through, but all these kids from an orphanage have to win a hockey game to save their orphanage.
Oh,
or something.
God.
I could have totally lost the spirit of what they were doing. But, yeah, so there was three of those. I did not like Youngblood. I've got two of the three Slapshots ahead of it. I got all three Mighty Ducks ahead of it. I don't know, man.
I got to be honest. The reason I might have missed those other two Slapshot movies, I might have been the only kid in minor hockey actually doing his homework on the bus.
Geek.
Yeah, I know. It's probably why I never made it too far.
Yeah. Let's talk a little about Jose Bautista. And even as we sit here now, it's 11 o'clock or so on Tuesday night. There are outlets out there saying the deal is done, pending a physical. There are other outlets saying there's still minor things that are being worked. But for all intents and purposes, Jose Bautista is coming back on a one-year deal at $18 million with what sounds like 2 years of mutual options where they both can agree to extend it. And I guess if he hits all of the incentives in the contracts and stays the whole 3 years, it could reach $60 million over 3 years, which no one thinks is going to happen. Most people are looking at this as a one-off. He gets to rehab his image or, you know, have a better year based on, you know, what he did this past year. And the Jays fill a hole that they desperately needed after bumbling through this offseason pretty terribly. Let's start here. Do you think, given where they're at this point in January and how the roster was shaping up, was this the right move for the Jays?
Oh, 100%. I think this was the right move. And I can't remember if you and I talked about this, but this was the right move as soon as they got knocked out of the playoffs. They just weren't going to... They couldn't move on without Edwin and without Jose. They needed to re-sign one of the two guys.
Let me stop you right there for one second. Would you have, at that time, preferred Edwin or Jose?
I mean, player for player, forgetting salary and all of that stuff, I think you probably, and I think anybody would hard-press to argue the opposite, you take Edwin.
Yeah.
He's a little bit younger. A little less of a track record, but definitely, at least more recently, the last 2 years, a better hitter.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go with that.
Because I think for most fans, this was Plan B if you could only have one.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I assume it was Plan B for Rogers. Let's call them Rogers from now on.
Yeah.
But I had a sneaking suspicion since fall that this was the way it was going to play out. I do think the Jays felt that Edwin, just like Edwin thought he was going to get more money, I think the Jays thought Edwin was going to get a little bit more money. And I think the Jays ended up in this weird scenario where all of a sudden nobody really offered Edwin more money.
Well,
but then they had already kind of cashed out.
Yeah. Like, it's really interesting to see where the guy who wanted to come back is kind of gone and pushed out, and the guy that most people assumed was gone and that maybe management wanted gone is the one coming back. Like, I really feel like management was pushed into this, as they I've said earlier on one of these shows, whether it was Unforced Errors or Tall Can Sports, that I think both Edwin's agent and Blue Jays management bumbled this terribly from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And they would both prefer that this had gone differently. And at the end of the day, they then went after Dexter Fowler, and it didn't happen. They tried to work out a deal for McCutcheon, and that was going to involve at least Vlad Guerrero Jr., and they weren't interested in doing that. Blackman is the guy out in Colorado that they tried to do anything but bring back Bautista, and they're left here, middle of January, going, well, we got to do something. Like, this isn't okay right now. And same thing with Bautista. When he walked, he had said last February, I'm going to get paid. And I'm not taking a discount to stay here. And he went out, and he did not get paid. And now he couldn't come back here for less than the qualifying offer that he'd already turned down. And he just ran out of options. The Jays ran out of options. And now they're stuck with each other. I don't think this is what either side wanted.
I wouldn't disagree with you. And it's you have two different scenarios with two different players, right? You have one scenario, and I'm pretty sure, you know, you got the agent for Edwin saying, don't worry, you're going to get paid. So Edwin thinks he's going to get paid.
Yep.
And let's be honest here. He got paid.
Yep.
Okay.
Sure.
Not as much as he wanted, though, right?
Less than even Toronto offered.
Yeah. And they figured they were going to get paid. And they forgot was he's a DH.
Yep.
So, you know, he has the right to explore that option, and he did. And the Jays also have the right to go sign a different player if they don't think they're in the market. Everybody, you know, and you brought up a point, you know, did the Jays act too quickly? And that's been on a couple media outlets. And it's like, I don't know, if you're at the dance and you walk up to a girl and you say, hey, do you want to have a drink? And she says no. And then you turn around and take another girl to the bar. And now that first girl is upset at you and throws a drink in your face. You're the bad guy? I don't know.
That's never happened to me. No one's ever said no.
Well, yeah. For the rest of us.
Yeah, no, but you're right. No, that was obviously ridiculous. But
I think
right.
The Jays are getting miscast a little bit in that one. In this case, it's different. The Jays were clearly, and especially management, were looking to move away from Jose. I also don't have a problem with a player saying, hey, listen, I've been good. I should get paid.
But he
also, you know, he got injured a couple times this year.
Yeah.
He still put up 22 home runs. He still had better stats than anybody who they were looking at replacing him with.
Yep.
Which is the funny thing to me, right? You look up Dexter Fowler. I mean, he's probably the best option that they looked at. He doesn't walk as much. He doesn't hit as many home runs. Yeah, he's younger and better in the outfield. Definitely makes sense.
Quicker.
But if you're going to pay him exactly what you're paying Jose, that seems a little bit like a wash to me. At least me. And then, I mean, he's the best option I think they struck out on.
Yep.
Jay Bruce.
I didn't want any part of that.
Boggled my mind. I mean, the way that guy strikes out, he hits about the same amount of jacks and ribbies, but strikes out way too much. And for a team that, you know, is deemed as, lacking the clutch factor when it counts.
Yeah.
And you're going to replace your hitter who's the most clutch out there when the game's really on the line and season's on the line two years in a row.
Yeah.
That's a hard sell to the fans.
Yeah, I think Granderson was one of the other names that they also looked at, and I don't know how that was going to fit either. But it really looks to me like the Jays themselves, and maybe the team will be just as good as last year because that pitching staff, in terms of at least Stroman and Sanchez, should be better. I have a hard time believing that Estrada and Happ will be as good, but if the other two come up a little bit, that the pitching staff is probably as good as last year, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of the batting order, right, in terms of that lineup, they didn't do anything they said they wanted to do. When Shapiro at the beginning of this offseason said, we don't want to be so heavy on the right side, right? We want to find a left-handed bat or two. We want to get younger, and we want to get slower. No, he did not say we want to get slow. We want to get faster.
That's what they did.
Yeah. So they went and got Kendrys Morales, who I believe switch hits. So, I mean, I guess that's... But they brought back Bautista. They let Saunders go. And I don't know if that was a bad move, but that was a left-handed bat. And so they're still slow. They're still right heavy. And I know I'm... It sounds like I'm shitting all over this. This was the only move left. This was all they could do at this point in the season, but I think this was a wildly unsuccessful offseason in terms of what they set out to do.
Hard to disagree with you on that. Right. Hard to disagree with you.
Like they wanted what they've done here. They didn't change the lineup like they wanted to. What they did was have the same type of lineup, but weaken mm-hmm. it a little bit. If we think Morales is 75% of Edwin, and we can negotiate what that number is,
mm-hmm.
he's the same type of guy as Edwin. He's just not quite as good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same lineup. Yeah. It's the same type of... And then you've got, what, Upton and Pierce in left field, Smoke in first base. I don't know. You're not going to be able to bring Bautista in to DH some days like he needs to do because you've got more than enough of those guys already. Like, this is... It's not perfect. I do think it was the best they could do, but it's far from perfect.
I think you're right. I think they put their eggs in... certain baskets way too heavy. I think they thought they were going to pull in one or two of these outfielders that were going to make them a little bit younger, a little bit faster, maybe hit from the left-handed side of the plate.
Yeah.
And it seems like they maybe missed the boat on that and should have possibly been looking somewhere else to change the lineup up. You know, maybe at first base, maybe at second, maybe the true weak spot to the club.
Yeah.
And, you know, try to, instead of taking a guy like Bautista, subtracting him and trying to add somebody else to it, you know, maybe upgrade at second where we tend to be weak, and again at first base. I would assume they're expecting Bautista to play first, at least part of the season.
How? Like, I think that's probably on their mind. I think you're not way off, but you've got Morales, who's probably going to DH or first base. Those are the only places he can go. Got Pierce, first base. Smoke, first base. I guess they're saying Pierce can go play a little left field, but
I'm
that's not
like,
your
and
starting
maybe,
left fielder. Like, you got maybe, Upton and Carrera. That's your platoon in left.
Gosh. Yeah, now we have to watch Upton strike out all season. There's a reason we got him for free, everybody. That's all I'll tell you.
Yeah, the Padres are paying him, and I still think they're laughing at us.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to watch him strike out and pop up in Petco anymore, right? We're really the paying fans are the losers in this one.
Yeah.
My understanding early, at least the way I thought they were looking at Pence was, Pierce.
Yep.
Hunter Pence would be a lot better of a player.
I'd be
don't
okay
get me wrong.
That. Yeah.
Just, you know, Freudian slip there.
Sure.
But Pierce is, maybe that's more like it, right? I think they were hoping, or at least the way I was reading into it, was that he will move around a little bit. Like, he'll play a little first. I think he plays the occasional second base even. Once or twice in the outfield would work.
Right. Yeah, where, I think he can play a little left.
I don't think you can play Major League Baseball and expect Justin Smoke to play first base more than half the games. I don't care how good of a defensive fielder he is. He is so bad at being a professional hitter at a corner spot.
Yeah.
And I think you saw that last year when they just said, you know what? Screw it. Put Eddie out there. We'll put a guy whose nickname is E5, and we'll just throw him out there.
Yeah.
So I think that's a pretty damning report for a guy who was, you know, a former first round pick out of the Mariner camp out there, right? Who was supposed to be this great hitter.
Yeah.
So I would assume that, you know, Bautista used to play a lot of the infield back in the day. Don't forget he used to play a lot of third base for the Blue Jays back in the day.
Yep.
He's still got a great glove. I mean, his arm's not what it used to be, but to come in and play first, I think he can probably do it. I know he's got that ego, right?
Yeah.
And he loves to play the outfield.
Yeah.
But maybe that's one of the things they had to work through.
I wonder if that, what you just said, if that wasn't part of the contract that said, look, I'm 90 games in right field or whatever it's going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't tie the manager's hands, but you can have kind of a nod and a wink, right, that says, this is what we're doing here. I'm coming back for, you know, it's funny. Everybody's saying he gets to save his ego because he didn't want to take just the qualifying offer at 17.2. Well, he did take 18. So we're talking about $800,000 difference, which to most of us is not bad.
I know. Where do I sign?
Chump change for him when he was in February reportedly calling out for $150 million over 5 years, right? So
yeah.
I wonder how that plays out. I wonder how that goes. He does have, as you said, some experience at third base, but Josh Donaldson's going to have, like, with this team on the turf, the Kendrys Morales thing for me is terrible because Edwin could move for. You can't give Tulo a day off his feet to DH because that's Morales. You can't give Donaldson a day off his feet to just DA. That's morale. Like, are you going to, how many, if you want Bautista, Donaldson, and Tulo to have one day off a week, it means Morales is sitting down 3 days a week. That's not happening, right? So I'll be really interested to see how this shakes loose, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them try to move Smoke. He is only making $4 million. That's not a ton of money. Maybe there's someone out there, you know, second month of the season who gets desperate, and now first base becomes an option for Morales now and then, right? To keep him in the...
You just mentioned tying the skipper's hands, and really having Kendrick Morales as your DH really does tie your skipper's hands, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just like having David Ortiz out there.
Yeah.
That's, you can't now move your infield or outfield around.
Yep. Yeah.
And look at how bad that team... I mean, look at August, September. It really looked like the Jays when they really needed that push. Mm-hmm. Some of the guys on that left side of that infield really needed a couple days off. Hips, their knees start to hurt. They need those days off. It's a long season.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how much prehab you do all winter.
Right.
You're going to need a couple days off.
Yeah. And it's nice when you can keep that bat in the lineup and give them the half day off kind of thing. And that option's just gone. They're not going to have it.
Yeah. It's interesting as well. You know, we're talking about like what they wanted to do, what they could do. It still feels like this maybe gives a chance at the Jays, sorry, as I'm tripping over my words here, at least gives them one more chance with this current team. Yeah. You know, they definitely backed away when, you know, McCutchen came up and they said, well, throw in Vladdy's son, and the Jays went, no.
No.
And the kid from Colorado, they said, well, what do you want? And they said, Stroman. And the Jays turned around and go, no.
Right.
One of the things Atkins and Shapiro have been very clear about is the cupboards are bare.
Yeah.
So they're not going to move guys. Maybe if this team doesn't work out, maybe guys like Morales get moved. You know, he's on a fairly friendly deal.
Yeah.
Maybe they start to look to restock those cupboards for Sanchez and Stroman's kind of next run at it.
Well, man, because you know also those guys are going to get paid.
They're going to get paid, right? And you can't imagine guys like, you know, you mentioned Hap. What does he do this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Donaldson. You know, Donaldson's still on the young side, but Hap's not young, right? Estrada's not young.
Yeah,
Liriano isn't a young guy.
But I think anyone expecting Hap to win 20 games again? That's not happening. I think
not in this division.
Better than he was the first time we had him, but he's not a 20 game every year in and out kind of guy, right? Like that's not happening.
No.
Sanchez might be, but
jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know Scott Boras is going to make sure he gets paid.
You're not kidding, man. So, as we kind of take a look around the division here, we haven't heard too much about the Yankees. Boston continues to picking when they got Chris Sale. They put the division on notice again, right? And this Bautista thing that said that Tampa and Cleveland were in the running. I don't know where Tampa gets the nerve to, you know, want to spend some money all of a sudden. But the Jays, at best, going into the season, are second, right? Like, it's not to say that can't change, but Boston, that lineup is reasonably young, especially now that you take Big Poppy out of it, and I think they're still going to be okay, right? But with guys like Xander Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley Jr. and some of these guys, like they're going to be pretty good for a while. And now that they've brought in Chris Sale and whatever, that Boston team looks
scary.
Oh man,
scary.
Oh man.
Man. I mean, last year a lot of those hitters had their best years on record.
Yep.
Just like the Jays the year before, it'd be hard to replicate those numbers 2 years in a row.
Yep.
Not to say they can't do it. You know the team's going to go through a little bit of a change with Poppy there. You know, they need new kind of camera guys. They need new guys to talk to the media, that sort of thing. But they're still the best team.
Yeah, I think so.
They're the best team in the AL right now. New York's going to be interesting because they played so well last year after they finally decided to cut bait and all the dead weight.
Yeah.
They got rid of the Teixeira and got rid of Aroids and moved on, right? So it's going to be interesting.
Probably wish they hadn't done that.
Yeah, for sure, right?
I certainly
right?
wish they hadn't done that because we
God, I know.
Ran into him.
Buzzsaw.
Yeah,
what a buzzsaw he was.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, they went and got Chapman back, which for his character flaws is another solid pitcher.
Yeah.
Though we'll see if Madden chewed up all his innings last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Seemed like the only guy you could pitch after the seventh inning for the Cubs last year, but he won his ring, so who's complaining, I guess, right? So we'll see how they turn out. I mean, the last 2 years, the Jays and the Yankees have been back and forth, right?
Yep.
Tight series every time they play. You can't expect that's going to change anytime soon. I think we have a better starting pitching. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've got a young, up-and-coming team. They could really surprise everybody in the AL East. So, and let's not forget about the Orioles. Came back. They're coming back with that same team.
Yeah.
Right.
Has Trumbo re-signed? You know, is he?
I think he's still on
the.
He's still out there, but this is a team that
him
also
heading to the NL.
Yeah. God. Right.
Get him out of the division.
Who do we have to throw some more cash at? We're throwing money at PEI Sports today.
Maybe the
Nationals need somebody. I don't know.
Yeah, they backed the truck up though at the winter meetings. They might be fried in terms of cash too. So.
Which is surprising because what are they going to do with Bryce Harper this year or next year?
I would say they're going to let him go to New York. There's people saying he's going to be the first $40 million a year guy.
Wow.
Including him. Like, he's saying that. That's what he'll be looking for. And he might get it. He might get it. The Yanks might be just waiting, right? Like,
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he was, what, 26 when he won the MVP or something? Like, something crazy.
Yeah, it might even have been less than that.
Yeah, but if I can just digress for one second topic, there's been this, you know, we're the Instagram generation, right? So clearly, you know, Major League Baseball players have caught on to this too, being a bunch of young guys, younger than us, definitely, right?
Yeah, that
so
sucks.
There's this big thing right now where they're all tweeting and Instagramming their workouts, which is amazing. I found it funny last year with Edwin doing it because, you know, he didn't even look like an athlete last year when he was doing it. He's looking a little better this year, but, you know,
like
not better.
Like someone's dad showed up to work.
Oh, yeah.
Guys. Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like the coach maybe showing the guys what they should be doing. I guess I can throw some shade on him nowadays, right?
Yeah, exactly. Fuck him at this point.
But God, I gotta say, some of these guys, their trainers are just brutal. So if you want to see an athlete who trains well, just look at Stroman's Instagram.
Really?
That guy trains like a beast.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think which Jay was on Instagram the other day, and he was doing what was supposed to be leg presses, but he was barely moving the weight. I mean, he was doing about 2 inches of range of motion. But at least in that case, you know, he wasn't getting hurt, right? He just looked stupid in front of everybody. Bryce Harper, okay? Mr. $40 million man. Yeah, exactly. Just looked stupid in front of everybody.
Exactly.
So Bryce Harper puts one up last week or so of him doing a deadlift, something insane, like 400 some pounds. Looks really tough. He's got his beard on point, clearly matching clothes, you know, and he's ripping this deadlift. The only problem is he looked about 2 seconds away from hurting a disc and having that $40 million just disappear.
Gone.
So
just gone.
You know, for those of you who don't know, you know, my healthcare background, that I was, you know, my face was turning. I was ready to throw up just watching it happen. And just, you know, these guys got to be careful with their bodies. But, you know, what do I know? I'm not getting paid $40 million. So anyways, I digress.
Yeah, no, but man, it's wild. And he might be that guy that, because like think back, because we're talking probably 2000, 2001, when Texas gives A-Rod $250 million over 10 years, and everyone went, what the fuck? That's ridiculous. And it kind of was, but, you know, 25 million over 10 years, and now we're talking about a $40 million player. And it is, it's 15 years later with inflation, that might be the next ridiculous contract that we see, and right?
Now look back, was A-Rod's contract that bad? You know, maybe minus the last 2 years?
Well, and because did he not only do like five, like that contract, I'm pretty sure was right around 2000. He was in New York by the time that you and I were on that same baseball tour in 07.
That's right.
So
watching him trying to hit number 500.
Right. So in a 10-year deal, did he make 5 years of that with the team that signed it?
Like, I don't think so. I think they signed him and quickly actually tried to move him to Boston.
Okay, that sounds familiar.
Couldn't pull the trigger. I can't remember what the case was, whether Boston decided they wouldn't pay the whole thing or couldn't put together the pieces, or it was like Nomar going back the other way or something to that effect.
Wow, remember and when then that was a big deal. Yeah.
God, remember when Nomar was the biggest athlete in his family? Hey-o!
Yeah. Yeah, man, it was crazy, and to now to think there might be a $40 million guy.
God.
Crazy.
I mean, we don't get to see him a lot because he's in the NL.
Yeah, thank God.
And playing at the same game time, right? God, I know. But you have that feeling he's either going to the Mets, the Dodgers, or the Yankees, right? Like, that's...
Dodgers would be just fine with me.
Right? Keep him... He looks like a West Coast guy. He likes the sun, right?
I think so.
You don't want to live in the darkness of the East Coast. You hear that, Bryce? Stay. Go West.
Yeah.
Go West, young man.
Yeah, you know, and it's as we start to wind this down and you start to talk about getting back to Bautista, I read a really great piece. I'd love to give credit, but I can't remember who wrote it now. It was at TheRinger.com. And they did a good job. I can't remember the artist's name, but you can check it out at The Ringer. And it was all about Bautista's timing. And even when he signed his big deal in 2010, which was, you know, he'd only had one good season. He'd been a journeyman before that. Came out, crushed a pile of home runs for the Jays, and they kind of gave him, you know, what was it, maybe $13 million or something, like a year for 6 or 7 years. Maybe it was a little higher than that. I can't remember. But a year later, Albert Pujols signs his ridiculous contract with the Angels, right? And the market was booming. And Bautista had gone on to have a second straight year of crushing the ball. And his timing wasn't right. His deal came up at the wrong time. He hadn't proven quite enough. And teams weren't spending like they would a year later. And so that contract runs out now. And again, it's one of those years where people have decided, I'm not giving that kind of money up for a slugger. And maybe next year, the market's a little different. It's a weird timing thing as we kind of come full circle here on Bautista. And he's... You know, going to make $18 million instead of getting 5 years at $150 million, and man, it's unbelievable. He's not going to make over the course of his career close to what he's probably worth. Like, forget whether or not the Jays could afford it. Look at the numbers since 2010 that guy's put up, and the contract that he's been on, and most of the experts say over that last 6 years. He's shy about $90 million on what he should have made compared to the market in terms of what guys similar to him are making. And it blew up in his face again this year.
Sometimes it's timing, sometimes it's pedigree, right? I mean, if you're a journeyman, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
I mean, he didn't sign a big deal until he was in his thirties, right?
30 to 31. Yeah. That right around.
So, I mean, he already missed out on.
Yeah.
A guy like Bryce Harper is going to sign his big contract in his late 20s.
Yep.
You're already missing out on a couple years of big money.
Yeah.
And that's actually one point, maybe my final point tonight. You know, taking $18 million from Toronto in a city where he's still fairly well liked and revered by most of the fan base.
Yeah.
And is a spokesman for a number of companies.
Get your booster juice.
That's right. Get your pizza, but then get your booster juice because you want your protein on the way out the door. He's, you know, he's definitely got some endorsement deals here that he probably wouldn't get if he went to Tampa and made an extra couple million dollars.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, now he's making 18. Edwin's making 20. What's Edwin getting in promotion in Cleveland? I'm not too sure, but you know, Jose's at least, you know, he's doing his, Canada Goose jackets. He's doing his New Era hats. He's doing his Golden Graham cereal boxes, his pizza, his booster juice, and whatever else they're going to feed him this year. So he's going to make a little bit more money being in Toronto, I'm sure, on the other end of things.
Yep.
I can't remember. He might be another one of the Audi guys too. Like they do okay here as, you know, with the fan base, and some of the companies acknowledge that. So yeah, he's not making that $90 million back, but I think there's a little bit more incentive just coming back to play for the Blue Jays.
That's right. And And he is one of those guys, you could tell, he wanted to come back. But he wanted to come back at his price.
At his price, and probably, you know, he probably felt a little bit, not embarrassed, but probably a little bit unloved by the coaching staff, or not even the coaching staff, but the management, right? And,
for sure.
And how they dealt with it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's interesting, man. And so let me finish here. As we are really only a couple of weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting, which is awesome. I love spring baseball. I'm ready to rock, man. How do you – certainly, I'm more optimistic about this team than I was for probably a decade before the last 2 years, right?
God, right? Yeah.
And I wasn't – I can remember even in 2016, last year, I wasn't super optimistic going in because I didn't think Hap was going to be Hap, right? We didn't know Sanchez was going to be Sanchez and Estrada. Like all these guys, we didn't know – that it was going to go quite the way it did.
Sure.
What is your enthusiasm on a 1 to 10 scale, and what do you expect from this team when it's all said and done? Do they make the playoffs again, wild card team? How do you see this going as we're pretty close now? They've got, based on, I know this is a lot of preamble to a question, it looks like there's about $10 to $12 million left to sign a lefty reliever and a backup catcher. And they that should be able to get done with $12 million, right? You should be able to make that happen. But we don't know yet what that looks like and who those guys are. What do you
see? And you anticipate the one or two deals kind of mid-season to tinker with the team.
Yep.
Hopefully that's all bullpen help for this team.
Because he's really, right? I know I'm interrupting here, but really, you can't expect him at 40 years
100%.
Old to be what he was. Because he was even breaking down a little bit. He was great for us last year, but there was moments where you could tell he was showing his age a little bit. He was breaking down, right? That's because he replaced too.
That's because he was pitching 7 days a week.
Yeah, well, he can't be your eighth inning guy all year. You got to go find someone else to do that. You also lost, say what you want, Joaquin Benoit, another veteran guy.
Very true.
Yeah,
very true. I think I told you this story. I ran into Joaquin Benoit at the bank actually. Another guy did not look like an athlete. Looked like he should have been running a barbecue joint somewhere in the east end of Scarborough.
Love that.
Yeah, I mean, he probably makes a great barbecue, don't get me wrong.
No doubt.
Maybe he wouldn't have popped his Achilles running in from the bullpen if he had done some laps earlier in the year.
I can't believe how that goes down, right?
Like, right. So bad.
Stupid.
Awful. 2 years in a row, our relievers pop a Achilles, and at least
someone.
One was legitimate.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to fight someone if I can successfully run the 100 meters. Fuck.
I know. Jesus. To answer your question, having Jose definitely helps. I mean, he's a fan favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there for some big Jose moments in the stadium, and he definitely, you know, you always have that feeling when he's coming up to bat in the eighth and ninth inning.
Yeah.
The guy's clutch. He's a hero here. He'll always be a hero here. So it helps even if it's just for the face value of having him here.
Yes. Star power advertising.
That's right. And at minimum, he's hitting 25 home runs and 80 RBIs.
That's right.
So that helps the team. You know, like it or not, that helps the team.
Yep.
You got to expect the pitching's maybe not going to be as great, but the batting should maybe be a little bit better than it was last year. Because in all honesty, they probably had a little bit of a down year last year.
Yeah.
Overall, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
I think so.
Donaldson didn't put up the same numbers. Tulo didn't put up the same numbers. Russell didn't, and neither did Bautista. So maybe they all have a slight uptick.
That's a guy this we didn't mention, right? Russell Martin, not going to be behind the plate 6 days a week, and if you want his bat, Kendrys Morales is talking to Donaldson, Tulo, Bautista. There's another guy who wants a day off now and then.
That's not an option on this team anymore, right?
Fuck, man.
So I'd say if, you know, as a realistic Jay, as a Jays fan, as a pessimistic Jays fan, this is a wild card team, right? I mean, we should be expecting another wild card year.
Right.
I don't think they're in Boston's league. Not to say I don't think they can beat Boston, or they can't beat Boston in a 7-game series, and we might actually match up fairly well with them.
Right.
But you know, it's going to be a race for that wild card spot again, and I think we should be expecting to be in that 1-game playoff, and hopefully, you know, we come out on top again, and then, you know, then you're just rolling with house money.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at this point, that's I mean, when I say best case scenario, it makes it sound like I don't think it's possible, and that's not what I'm trying to put across. But I do think wild card is the ceiling here. They're as you've said, the Jays can beat Boston, even with this roster. They could beat Boston in a 7-game series. Can they beat them over 162 games? Probably not. Right?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. And I don't know if – I don't think Baltimore has improved enough. I don't think New York Yankees are going to improve the 10 games or so to catch the Jays.
Yeah.
They might make it close.
Right.
You know, they might even be the team they have to play in a wild card game.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've overtaken them. Kansas isn't as good as they used to be the last couple of years. They've lost a couple players.
One to us.
You have to watch Seattle, you know, in the West Coast.
Yep.
They've added some nice pieces, and they're always, you know, that small division, there's always a better chance of making the playoffs in the West Coast. So there's definitely going to be competition. But I still think the Jays are in the upper echelon.
Yeah.
It's funny how after, you know, we don't make the playoffs for 20-odd years, and two playoff rounds, and then we're snobs again in this baseball universe,
and
right?
Neurotic, right? Like, how can you let this guy go? Well, he was, like, it's crazy how fast it gets re-engaged, right? And you want it, and you... And the only thing I can say as we wind this down is get ready for a repeat of probably this past September. Like 2 years ago, the Jays felt like they didn't lose a game from August 1st to the end of September, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the end of it, they won the division with a couple days to spare. And we went into Boston this year not knowing if we were even making the playoffs in the last series of the season.
And it didn't feel good either.
Right.
Didn't feel good.
Didn't feel good the way we got in. Didn't feel good the way that was all playing out. It was raining. You didn't know what was going to happen. But all September, you were life and death. And that's what I see this year, right? If you're getting in, it's going to look a lot more like this past September than the September before, where you are every fucking game, right? It matters.
Oh, 100%. And that's what makes baseball beautiful, right? It's a full season, and yet it still always somehow comes down to the last 2 weeks of baseball.
That's what is great about baseball. It makes you want to kill yourself.
I know. So do what we do. Watch for the first 3 weeks and tune back in August,
right,
like everybody else.
Yeah, and have copious amounts of alcohol present in September because you're probably going to need it. I mean, if you're giving yourself an ulcer with stress, you might as well contribute to it with beer, right?
That's right. If there's one good thing the Jays did last year, it was including the new craft beer into the beer list. So
yes.
That definitely helped my baseball watching last year.
Yeah,
you know, if you're going to make me pay $12 for a tall boy, at least let me drink something I want to drink.
Yeah, for a long time, it was Labatt and Sleeman, right? Come on, like, give me something here. Throw me a bone, right?
Or you have to get the imports from Nova Scotia.
Yeah. Yes, that's great.
Only in Toronto, boys. Only in Toronto.
Don't make me sneak it in. I mean, don't force me to sneak it in. I might sneak one in. I don't want to have to sneak six in, right? Like, how big do you think these cargo shorts are? Going back 15 years in fashion just to cover my beer tab at the Skydome.
I think you could do a whole podcast on how to sneak in your beer.
Have you seen the iFlask? That's awesome, right? It looks like an iPhone, but you fill it up with little booze and the headphone jacks where you shoot out of it.
Next week on Unforced Errors.
Exactly, man, exactly. That's Talk and Sports. We'll see you all down the road.
This one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.